for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast of 50 years of playing PlayStation, like 15 years in that games mini combined. I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can. Come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can. Tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, or comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts, other sort of shit with our logos on it. All right. You know, playing at home, I didn't take my meds. Normally, I take a Ritalin when we do these bad boys, but like, long day at work. I came home. I ate food, and now we're here. So you don't get a medicated Betson, Max. I do apologize.
It's fun.
It may be either really spacey or really chaotic. That's I'm curious to see how it goes. Saying that though, I am also like absolutely body exhausted. So you did it this week. I did it yesterday. It's school holidays here in Victoria, which means novelty shit happens. Geelong Showgrounds, they're like, hey, we've got this inflatable obstacle course. It sounds fun in principle.
It's 300 meters. Don't be a baby.
No. It sounds fun in principle, but that's not until you jam like, I don't know, 90 children in this fucking thing. And I very quickly realize I hate every child that is not mine. Because I, given the option, I would have sucker punched 40% of those kids. Cutting lines, being disruptive, not being respectful of space. I'm like, I could king hit so many children. Like, poof, that right in the back of the noggin, just let them drop. And we go through the line, the order continues. The difference is, though, Max, I went on this. So it's an obstacle course. It's inflatable. There's things, you go jump them, whatever. You didn't do it.
Correct.
I did. Because I'm that crazy ass dad that I'm like, yeah, fuck it, why not? What's worse gonna happen? Forgetting that I'm substantially older than I have been. It's the oldest I've ever been. And in turn, oh, my body was not ready. Like balancing on a jumping castle at best of times is challenging. Add 90 kids in that thing. My balance from my sensory fucking gone mental. Balance, chaos, thighs burning.
Yeah, it's because you didn't follow the fucking instructions. When you bought your tickets, it said, please wear pants and long sleeves to avoid burns.
I wore jeans, the least slipperiest of all fucking bits of clothing. Because every time I had to descend down a slide, I was like, God damn it. But yeah, I only got the one burn. It's gone down, which is nice. But I did get this elbow burn. And that was from when I jumped something. And thankfully, it was on like our third go around. Where there was like no kids. It was much quieter on each run. I tried to jump a thing and my foot got caught and I ate a whole bunch of shit. Thankfully, my kid was very, very nice. I'm like, Dad, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine.
He was very respectful and he dropped me afterwards.
Yeah, he didn't laugh. He didn't laugh at my expense. His immediate thought was, oh my God, are you okay? So what a ledge. But how'd Hadley go with it?
Oh, sorry, funny. So she went with two of her friends who are a year older than her. So we kind of stick together kids on the first run through, stick together. So they all went through. It took them 15 minutes to get through the first time.
Hot damn.
And then one of them was like, oh, I don't want to be stuck with the other two. They're a bit slow. And I'm like, okay, well, you go through by yourself. I'll time you. And he beat them out again. He did it in 4 minutes. Yeah. Came out fucking red in the face. Oh my God, he's fucked. Yeah. He was fine. But what happened was there was essentially the first thing is a big hump with like ladder climb bits. Yeah. So that's fine. Hadley got over it. The second one is a big hump with no ladder climb things. So Hadley and her friend were trying to work together to try and get each other over. So the first time her friend went over at the same time as a bigger kid, so he kind of pushed it down and he's like, fuck yeah, and jumped over and then grabbed Hadley from the other side.
He helped. Okay, cool. Hadley
across. The second time, because they went together, everyone else was avoiding them going around them. So these two were trying to work out how to do it. So she's like, I'll give you a boost. And she ducked down and put her hands on his butt and lifted him up. And they're like helping each other climb over all the. It was adorable.
That's lovely.
It was the funniest thing I've ever seen, though. But my daughter is a big chicken, so I didn't think she was going to go down the 6 meter inflatable slide. She's like, "Oh, Dad, I think I'm going to do it." I'm like, "That's fine, but once you're up there, there is only one way down, and I'm not coming up to save you." She's like, "I can do it, Dad. I can do it. It's okay." I'm like, "Okay," and she fucking did it.
And then she did
it seven more times. She's like, this is fucking great. This is the greatest thing ever.
For those who don't know, right, like Hadley has, for the longest time, had a pretty strong fear of slides. Except for the moments where she's just does it.
Yeah. She's like the loosest unit.
She's keen, she's fucking good. But up until then, she's like, ooh. And then there's like boy. Then there's Ollie, who just goes down slides like backwards and upside down and bullshit.
He'll fall down and be like, whatever. It's cool. So she had a blast, an hour and a half session. They did everything. I sat in the shade.
Smart.
Well, actually, I sat up against the ending zone. Yeah. So my back was constantly getting fucking thrown out every time some asshole tried to do a flip off the side where they weren't supposed to.
That was my boy.
Yeah, that was good fun. It looked fun.
Yeah, look.
I said to the people that I was there with, I'm like, hey, this would be a fucking great Bucks day.
Oh, dude, yeah.
I would totally get on it if I didn't have to, like, get on there with, like, 150 fucking kids.
Yeah, if I didn't have to deal with the small kids and, like, we could just have a blast, it'd be awesome. But that's also like Bounce. I have a feeling that Bounce would be really sick with just a bunch of adults. Like, I know
they do Bounce After Dark.
Yeah. I'd love to go and it'd be fun.
It's where the things go bump in the night and then I do my knee.
Yeah, so we all come out severely injured. What an exciting time. But outside of that, Max, like, what's been going on? How's your week been?
Yeah, I did some landscaping. Mowed all my grass. You know, adult life. Other than that, fuck all. It's week two of school holidays. My wife is still working. So it's just me and the kids. And I'm ready to fucking...
Ready for them to return to school.
It's a lot. Because Ollie's obviously stoked that Hadley's at home all day. All he wants to do is hang out with her, and all she wants to do is be left the fuck alone. So the other day they were playing outside together, and she wasn't paying attention to what Ollie was doing, so he fucking smacked her in the face with a toy. And then Hadley's response was to snatch the toy and fucking smack him back with it.
How'd that go?
Well, it ended in a screaming match between me and Hadley, and be like, dude, that's not how we do this. Come and get Dad. Dad will come and tell him off. You don't smack him upside the head with what he smacked you upside the head with. That's not how this works.
He's a lot younger than you, Hadley. He doesn't understand that balance of not...
But it's funny. I had this conversation with another parent on Monday. So we had organized a play date for one of Hadley's friends, and we met at the park. Mm-hmm. And one of her older daughter, a couple of years older than Hadley, was getting bullied by some other kids on the playground.
Oh, I would have come and just dropped those fucking kids.
And she's like, you know, just tell them no, use your voice. If that doesn't work, come and get me. I'll sort it out. We don't use violence. I'm like, oh, I remember the days. My mum's advice was if someone hits you, you hit them back twice as hard so they don't hit you again.
Yeah, like I'm one of those, like as someone that was bullied quite a lot in my youth, I'm very protective of my son in that way. And there has been times where I've nearly gotten into a fist fight with a child. Like, I am seconds away from just curb stomping this little cunt. like, they're not my fucking kids, so I don't care. Like, I'm sorry, you random parent raised an asshole of a child. I'm going to punch your kid in the fucking face.
It's been a school holiday so far.
Well, obviously my son's on holiday as well, but he's with his mum. So because I don't work from home currently, and I used to back another job before then. I used to not work school holidays, so I'd have him for a week. It was awesome. Not yet currently, and just because I've started the new job, I don't really have the leave to kind of do it. Pardon me, but I did have him over the weekend, and there's a phenomenon, Max, that I think only we can speak to as men, and that is the desire to collect sticks, good sticks. Like, you got to find like that perfect stick. So my son at the moment, he's replaying God of War for whatever reason, and I'm not mad about it. I'm absolutely in support. But what he's done is he's found this stick that is it's his drop near spear. So he sanded it down like by hand with a bit of sandpaper. He spray painted it. It's got gold bits and silver trimmings. He's got a red ribbon on it, just like the drop near spear. So like he's been playing with that a whole bunch. He made like a bow and arrow out of a couple sticks and some string. Just real MacGyvering stuff, right? Pardon me. So where I live, behind us is an old school that's currently not being used. So there's like a whole bunch of like trees, old big fucking gum trees and stuff. So there's just sticks everywhere. So we just went hunting for like better sticks, and it's something deeply within us as men. Like it's just let's go hunting for sticks. Like every time you go on a walk or a hike, what do? You find a good walking stick. You gotta find a good stick to, especially when you're a kid, you gotta find a good stick to play with. Is it a good sword? Is it a good club? Can it be a spear? Can this be a gun? That was a blast. And then we ended up playing golf, but with sticks. The idea, rather than like hitting a ball across the, like we started at one end of the back of the oval, and then we just had to throw the stick, and we just had to get to the other side in at least amount of throws as possible. The things you do. No fancy toys, nothing, no screens, just myself, Phoebe, and James throwing sticks.
Playing with their sticks.
Yeah, throwing sticks. It was awesome. It was so simple and so fun. Really, really enjoyed it. Other than that, though, like, yeah, work's been great. Still loving it. Life's been great. WrestleMania this weekend. So that's my Sunday morning and my Monday morning sorted. Woohoo. Get excited. Keen. You probably don't care.
It's Easter weekend.
Yeah, it's really nice for Jesus to get involved in my WrestleMania weekend. It's really nice of him. I appreciate it. Giving me extra days off so I don't have to take leave to watch WrestleMania. So that's nice. But as I did mention, that does, sometimes we do play games. Not so much this week, sadly, but just because of the things. But what have you been playing, Max? What's on your PlayStation?
There's really only three games that I've been playing. So I got some more time in with Split Fiction this weekend with the wife. We wrapped up the level that we were doing, and I would guesstimate that we're about halfway through the next one. And the way the levels are kind of set up, you tend to have like a mini boss and a big boss. And we've completed the mini boss of the level, as far as I'm aware. This is the epic fucking pinball section, and it's still, the game's still fun. A heartbreaking moment at the end of the previous story that we finished.
Mio or Zoe's?
Involved some dragons and some.
Oh, some man. Oof. Did it? I know you're not a big crier at games.
Outside, yeah, only like Death Stranding. Stranding.
Yeah.
outside of Death Stranding, where I was just fucking wrecked. No, but even Ali's like, well, that was a fucking depressing way to end that. In that second way.
Yeah, so man. You're absolutely on the home stretch now, yeah.
Yeah. The game's still fun. It's, yeah. I'm digging it. I'm liking where it's going.
How's Ali going with it? Like, from, you know, we were discussing last week as I sort of put my final stamp on the game. Like, I understand, you know, from a skill deficit, right? I understand you and her in different spaces when it comes to skill set. But how is she with, like, the story and, like, the...
She's enjoying the story. She is finding it a lot more difficult than the first one. The biggest one is, and for whatever reason, I can't figure out why it's not working, but she can't invert the controllers for flying sections. She wants her up to be up, like some kind of crazy
person. Yeah, it's in the settings. Just start in...
It's just like, no, sorry.
Oh.
It just stays the same for some reason. I don't know if we're doing something wrong, but I've tried it. I can invert the camera, but not the controller itself for version. So she's like, I'm like, fly out, and then she's like, fucking, and died. I'm like, you gotta pull up, like, pull up. So yeah, it's fun. But yeah, she's digging it. She's enjoying the story. But yeah, it is a lot harder from a gameplay perspective for her this time around. It's also hard because every time we play it, Hadley wants to watch, and Hadley's just fucking backseat gaming.
Go there, jump here. Why don't you do this?
It's like, mum, you're doing it wrong.
Mind you, she couldn't do it either.
No, she's tried. I'm like, it's too difficult for you, kiddo. Like, she's like, what about when I'm 10? I'm like, sure, we'll play the game.
I always love that. On a complete side note, I love the, like, just tangential ages that kids will pick. It's like, can I do this when I'm 8? When I'm 9?
Always,
like,
you know, always 10. Always 10. Always 10.
It's because, is it because double digits mean double something?
Double digits, yeah. Other than that, I'm still playing the new season of Path of Exile 2. I'm almost at the end game now, playing the new class, the Huntress.
Mm-hmm.
It's wildly... this patch has been heavily review-bombed on Steam. It went to a negative review.
Wow, okay.
They basically took all the fun things that they had in the first patch, and they went, this was all broken, and it was way over-tuned, and blah, blah, blah. So they ripped everything out, nerfed everything, and now everyone's mad that they can't just fucking stomp everything, because gamers be sad. Whatever. And then, lastly, I don't know if you want to jump into it now, or you can talk about what else you've been playing.
Well, let's just get into it now, because like I said, I don't have a whole lot that
My TikTok has been filled with fucking Schedule 1 videos.
Oh, don't get me wrong, I've been playing some Schedule 1, but not as much as I had last week. I've only played like once since last week. But the game that that's probably the most pertinent, the most interesting of something that we've done this week is Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. So big thank you to the team over at Bethesda Australia and Double Jump Communications. Power Up. I think it's Power Up, actually. And Power Up, sorry. Yeah, and Power Up. My apologies. And Power Up. Max and I have had access to Indiana Jones and the Great Circle for about a couple days. Not really. I've probably had it since what? Today's Monday, since like Thursday of last week.
I think we got it Thursday, and I slept for 24 hours over my weekend.
Yeah. So I had the challenge. This is this is going up post embargo for the review. However, we originally had full intentions of getting it like as much done as we could before this moment, but life did lifing things, especially on school holidays. Pardon me. So didn't play much Thursday because Thursday night's my family night, so it's myself and my friends and my partner, and you know, that's our night. Friday, I had my son, and he was like, I don't want to play games. I just want to watch some TV. So we watched some TV. And then by the time he went to sleep, I was like, I can't have the brain power to play this fucking game. And then Saturday, we had a family function in the morning. I worked wrestling in the night. Sunday, went and did an obstacle course. I did sneak some time in there, though. So I do have some very initial thoughts on it. And I know you've spent more time than I think I have in it. So, Max, as we always do when we have our little review discussions or impressions discussions, I always go to you to explain the story because I feel that you could be more concise about it than me.
I have no idea at the moment. All right. To be honest with you, I have no idea at the moment.
So my understanding of the game as it stands in the early days that I am it is there's the prologue, which most people are aware of, mm-hmm. which is where you essentially get to do the idol section of Indiana Jones. You get chased by the boulder, Flash, you're having it's a dream sequence. Or a remembrance sequence, and you are at the universities in Cambridge, I think. And then you know, there's a break in, sets up some mystery, and that's when you get the beginnings of those little seeds of, oh my god, this symbol and that, and means I've got to go there, and I've got to, you know, this thing was stolen, which means I should do this. And obviously, for spoiler reasons, we won't go any further than that. Now, mind you, I'm probably couple hours past there anyway, so I'm still early days, but the main thing that I was really intrigued to check out with this release was knowing that Uncharted at its core is just Indiana Jones. I was like, well, what are machine games going to do that is different to Naughty Dog's Uncharted? Now, granted, the main difference here is it's in first person, which does change the standard of you know, the experience at large. But Max, I don't think I'm deep enough to sort of really ponder more on that. But how are you with it so far?
So I'm like, I've done the prologue and I would say I'm about 80%, 90% through what I assume is the first like level. I don't know if it's structured as a level based system, but I'm off doing the first thing, and it throws you into what is essentially a stealth mission to begin with. Now, the most recent stealth game I've been playing is Assassin's Creed Shadows, which is really fast paced for a stealth game. I can run, I can jump, I can flip. Indiana Jones, old as fuck, can't do any of that stuff. It takes like a good 10 seconds to climb up a pipe to get up a wall.
Traversal is really slow.
Or climb your whip. Like you can just whip onto ledges for some reason. I don't know how that works, but he can just like fucking bull whip up and he's like, but not as fast as that. It's more like very, very painful. And then you're just creeping through some castle, punching fascists. Well, I'm not punching fascists. I'm knocking them out with fucking violins and shit, with whatever I can get my hands on, essentially.
Also, I do love I love that that's not hyperbole either. Like, on the subtitles, it says fascist one, fascist two. Like, clearly identifiable fascists, by the way. Not this speculative fucking social media fascists.
So Adley was in here watching because she's like, oh, I want to play PlayStation. I'm like, no, I am playing, but you can come watch. And Ali's like, is it appropriate? I'm like, yeah, I'm just knocking people. That's fine. And so she's like, oh, Dad, there's a guy over there. I'm like sneaking up very slowly. And just what? Because if you sneak up on them and you hit them in the back, they just get knocked out. And you got to hide them. She's like, Dad, why are you picking up all the bodies? I'm like, well, I'm assuming the game's like, hey, you should probably hide these bodies so guards won't find them. I'm like, okay. So I like stacked like 10 dudes up in like just this alleyway. And then it feels so clunky. It's almost as clunky as what Wolfenstein was.
Same teams, it makes sense.
Yeah. So, like, in a comparative to, like, playing Uncharted, it's a lot slower pace than what that is, which obviously fits to a first-person game more than what the third-person action-adventure style is over there. But at the moment, the story hasn't gripped me. Now, I don't have a love for the IP already. I haven't seen any Indiana Jones movies ever. So I don't have that, like, yes, let's see the next big story that Indy's going to go on. I've had some... Now, obviously, we're playing pre-patch, and I've had some audio sync issues, which is kind of jarring. It looks fine. Now, I've played a little. I'm further than what I played when I played it on PC. But obviously, it looks way better on PC than what it does over here. But well, apparently,
you're also playing on PS5 standards. We don't have
pros. Yeah, apparently on Pro, it is immaculate. But I can't verify that because I'm too cheap to buy Pro.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to buy it. So we discussed the rules on which I can get a Pro a couple of weeks ago. So that hasn't happened yet.
Funny that. So I'm hoping that the game kind of picks up. I'm not enjoying this slow, methodical stealth mission thing. That's not what I expected from what I perceived Indiana Jones to be. Mm. I was more hoping for that, you know, tomb diving, treasure hunting.
But once again, early run days.
But yeah, like I said, early days. I'm only like 2 hours in. I'm hoping it does pick up the pace. I can understand why this level is set up the way it is from a story perspective. It's just hard adjusting from, like I said, playing Assassin's Creed Shadows, which is a very fast-paced stealth game, to this where I have to be... I move very slowly. Everything's like slow, methodical. It feels weighty. But so far, I am enjoying knocking the shit out of fascists. It's always fun.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I'm in a similar space, right? As we'll mention, the comparison between Uncharted and Indy, like, it's kind of the big thing that we'll do as a PlayStation, you know, focused show. Mm. You're absolutely correct. From a traversal perspective, like, it does feel a lot more, like, slow and plodding and... Yeah, even just shimmying across pipes doesn't quite have the speed at which we would normally see with, say, Nathan Drake. But
or Lara Croft, if you want to.
Yeah, or Lara Croft, even, in the Tomb Raiders. I don't have a larger issue with the first person. Like, no, I don't think neither do you, but I mean... With being such a substantial difference, it does change the pacing, which what I would expect Indiana Jones to be. Now, similar to yourself, I don't have a long history with Indiana Jones. I have seen the first one, and I'm pretty sure I've seen the second one. But, like, you know, when... You know, in a lot... You know, it's one of those series that it's so deeply ingrained in popular culture that I know all the beats, but I think I've seen some of them. I certainly haven't seen... Crystal Skull. I certainly didn't see.
Was it Dial of Destiny?
Dial of Destiny. Didn't see that one. Now, as someone that's currently rewatching the Star Wars saga with my partner, because she's never seen them all, we're deeply exposed to Harrison Ford right now.
Why are you doing that to that?
Well, because she says I've never seen them before. I'd like to watch them all. I'm like.
You were like, no, you no.
I'm like, oh,
we'll watch them in the correct release order, and we'll stop after.
That's what we're doing. We're watching a release order. I'm like, side tangent. My goal with this is I wanted to reignite my love for Star Wars. I lost my love with Rise of Skywalker because it was so objectively bad, and so I never saw Mandalorian, never saw Andor or Kenobi or Ahsoka. Or Acolyte, or like any of that. Book of Boba Fett, none of it. Because I was like, you murdered it, assholes. But watching those first three again, oh, they're so good. They're so good. Like, granted, though, like I did make, you know, there's like that ongoing joke within the Star Wars, like, you know, George Lucas is a little racist, like, there's really only like one or two black people at any given time in the entire universe. I made that same joke at Return, and then there was like a bunch of dudes, just black dudes rocking up everywhere. And that kind of changed the context of the movie because we're like, does that make, you know, would that then make Darth Vader black? Would that make Luke black? What if Luke thought he was black? That would be entertaining. And it completely just changed the context of the movie. Still, Return of the Jedi, fucking exceptional. Empire, probably still the better one, but Jedi is really cool. So we've seen a lot of Harrison Ford in the last couple of weeks. And watching Troy Baker absolutely smash it, like, his tone's right, his, like, delivery is just bang on. like that really kind of low mumbling sound. That's kind of like what Harrison Ford sounds like most of the time, especially as he got older. But they're, yeah, doing such a good job. The world feels good. I enjoyed doing that opening sequence, the prologue sequence, during the temple run. You know, that was really cool, and the puzzle solving was interesting. That opening area, which is clearly just teaching you the stealth mechanics, is the area that you were discussing. I appreciate how it's set up from a faux open, like it's linear, but you can kind of take mild deviations on the path and it'll still take you in the same way. You know, there's doors you can't unlock yet. So it's not, I don't think it's quite like a Metroidvania in that sense, but there is like, you know, branching paths. Getting into fist fights does feel really fun. Like, I haven't pulled my gun out yet. And I from most of the reviews I hear, you may not. So, like, the stealth for me is not kind of there. Could just crouch, walk up, and then hit him with something. So, instead, I'll just, like, throw something at him and get him to come to me and then just sucker him and then just get a big bussin'.
Fist fighting is my least favorite part of this game. I actively avoid it. The only time I ever do it is if I get spotted and then they get a glass bottle thrown in their face as I fucking sprint at them and just king hit them while they're fucking stunned from the bottle.
For me, it's hiding behind a crate with a bottle, throwing it at the back of their head, and they go, oi! And then they come and then I hide, and as they turn the corner, I just jump out, sucker them, and then just find some random object to beat their face in with. It's still absolutely early days, but
the fact that you get skills from reading magazines is hilariously cool. It's cool.
Yeah, I like that. That's fun. I've not seen the full extent of like the puzzling, etc. But this is, you know, as I mentioned, this is our kind of our initial impressions. Our review will be coming hopefully by next week, as you know, life is should be a bit easier this week. Yeah, visually, I think the game looks great. There are moments where it looks super good. But, like, that opening prologue sequence, like, the animation on some of the faces is, you know, pretty one-to-one to the movie. But the guy's, like really over-exaggerated facial expressions, which, from memory, I don't think he made those exact same faces in the movie. But for what it is at the moment, I'm enjoying it. Having a good time. Is it hard for me to sit down and play it? Absolutely. And that's just even excluding like the inconveniences that have gotten in my way this weekend to stop me from playing a game, which aren't inconveniences because they're my kid. But like the time at which I would have allocated had I been able to, I had other things to do. But the pull is not there.
Mm.
Which is interesting because I like machine games. When they released, you know, Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus, that was my game of the year that year. I thought it was exceptional. I believe it played really well. It looked fantastic. Enjoyed it. Guns were cool. I like this version of Indiana Jones with the intention of it being separate. It does distinguish itself from the likes of Uncharted. But I'm curious to see what it's like as its full package. I'm trying to think of like the right wording, right? Like no Ritalin. So my recall is just busted.
Cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to explain. I think cautiously optimistic is probably the best way. Like I'm intrigued to see what it is, and when I have the freedom to sit down and I really want to sink some time into it, I enjoy it. Like you said, you know, there are those little moments of disbelief that just exist within games and movies with the idea of you can just whoosh, whip something and it just catches and suddenly it can hold your own body weight. I'm willing to sort of give, you know, have those benefits. I'm curious to see more, to put it simply. Curious to see more. As I have a quick glance at my history, oh, actually, one thing I do want to mention, Max. I touched upon it last week, I believe. I went online and I picked up some lenses for the PSVR 2. So there's a company called Hons VR, H-O-N-S VR, where you can plonk in your glasses prescription and they will send you out a set of lenses that match your prescription.
Excuse me.
As Max, both you and I are glasses wearers, one of the biggest hindrances of wearing VR is the glasses. Massive improvement. Not having to wear the glasses, just putting it on, feels really comfortable. It actually it allows the headset to fit more comfortably onto my head. The lenses absolutely do have a optimal viewing spot, pardon me, where it is clearly not quite like bifocals, which, you know, like you need to kind of wear your glasses in the right spot, otherwise they don't work as well. This kind of has that by extension, as in you've got to put it at the right spot. But on a plus side, though, it means it's the margins of error to like not put the headset on properly become minimal, because you know where that sweet spot is, because you're blind and it's a spot that you can suddenly see. Fuck yeah, well done. I have noticed one thing though, Max, and I don't know how we're going to fix it. The protective coating on one of the lenses is starting to come off. And as a result, there's this fucking blurry patch in my vision, like right here. And ooh, it's immediately noticeable, and I can't not see it. So I have to work that out. But the game that I had spent the most amount of time with in, once again, off the back of my reviewing of Star Wars, has been Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. The game is fun. Like, we had a lot of fun with, you know, Vader Immortal X amount of years ago on PS1, PSVR1. This takes it to a next level. As of right now, I'm not a Sith. I'm not a Jedi. I'm just a dude. So be able to pull up, blaster rifles, you know, have thermal detonators, just do all these cool little trinkety things, like getting to live and experience the world of Star Wars, you know, the grittiness of the shitty ships and the bars and, you know, traversing this, you know, various terrains, just blasting stormtroopers, flying planes. It does feel like I'm living and breathing in Star Wars. And I'm a big fan of that. Thoroughly have been enjoying that. My son's played a bit more of the Call of the Mountain this week as well, as he does. But for yourself, Max, one of the first things you did ask me, back to the lenses, was how easy are they like to take off? Because if we switch it back to, if you know, as we have shared custody of said VR headset, if it was to go to you, what would you do? All they do is they simply just slide over the lens. You just pull them off. There's no clips. There's no stickies. There's nothing. It's just slide on. Beautiful. Slide off. Beautiful.
Cool.
So from an ease of use, it's fantastic. Absolutely worth like the 60, 70 bucks that I paid to get them done. Once I work out how to like get, you know, either replace the film or, you know, rub it all off to make it workable, that might be another option I have to do. I did do some Reddit searching to see what I could do. I don't believe it's a result of the lenses. So having a look through Reddit, it appears that, you know, if you happen to get like some sweat on the lens or anything, it can kind of eat away. Now, granted, both you and I have very likely got super sweaty when we've been playing it, because we're bigger dudes, things strapped to our faces, sweat happens. So it's a poor decision for it to be, sweat dissolvable. But able to step back into VR has been quite enjoyable, especially after some time away. It is a really fun experience to re-engage with, and the addition of the lenses makes it a much more enjoyable and repeatable position to put myself in, which I really appreciate. But yes, outside of that, just my usual WWE, my MLB The Show, pretty stock standard. Both you and I have downloaded Blueprints. It is available on PS Plus. It looks like a cool, that's the escape roomy sort of feeling game. Big fan of that. Love that. It should be a blast. But before we do dive in to the news section, of course, today at 11 a.m. this morning, season two of The Last of Us did launch. It started here on Max, not you, the service. You've watched about half an hour of it. I haven't touched it at all yet. The original plan was, you know, unlike season one, where we reached out to HBO directly, and we were provided early screeners, I chose this time, to not do it. Mostly because I was lazy, but also the views at which we got from our review chats of season one didn't really, like, do what I thought they would. So from having to pitch ourselves to HBO again to get season two, I didn't think it was going to be successful. And even though I really enjoyed our viewing experience last time, seeing it early was cool, but we also saw versions of it that were rough and of a lesser quality. They were 1080, barely 1080p. All the CG hadn't been done yet. So instead, this time, watching it through Max, we're getting 4K, HDR, Dolby Atmos. Like, it's an insane way to experience the show. And I am hoping that, you know, we will likely do our weekly sort of review on it. You know, 20-minute episodes, more of the players. We're probably going to record it this Wednesday. That allows for a couple of days of people to watch it, then they can come watch the show, watch our review, so we can engage in spoilers. It'll be a live chat, so people can jump in the chat and get involved with it. But just so you know, we are aware. We will be touching upon it, because how could we not with the show that we have? Max, you've watched the first half hour. The review you gave was?
It's a slow start, but it's fun.
But The Last of Us, the season one, had moments of really slow and then really quick. So I imagine it's building to a really quick. And of course, no spoilers for anyone that has played part two. I ain't going to say nothing. But anyway, let's get into this section we call Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. Quiet news week this week, thank Christ, because, you know, why not? But let's kick things
off with the PlayStation Extra and premium titles that were announced. So we have coming to PlayStation Extra, Hogwarts Legacy, Blueprints, Lost Records, Bloom and Rage, Tape Number 2.
Bloom and Rage. not Australian. Bloom and Rage.
EA Sports PGA Tour, Battlefield 1, and Played Up. If you are still paying for premium, you will get Alone in the Dark 2, the PS1, and War of the Monsters, PS2.
Hoggers, as you've written it in the doc, love that name for it. Good game. Great game.
Yeah. Solid.
I'm gonna
get Mum to download it. Nice. I'm like, do you want to play a Harry Potter game where you don't have to play as Harry Potter? And she's like, that sounds interesting. I used to hang out in Hogwarts. Do things. Learn spells and shit.
See, Plague Top sounds interesting because I like me a good, you know, cooking game. Excuse me. What I'd be intrigued to jump into is EA Sports PGA Tour. I am a bit of a sucker for a golf game. Loved everybody's golf. PGA, 2K, PGA, whatever. Big fan. And also, my boss is a big golf nerd. So I've been actually picking his brain on how to play, like, my video game golf better. Well, he's talking about, you know, he's giving me advice on how to play real golf better. And I'm just taking it in and being like, I'm going to apply this to fucking PGA. So I'd be keen to jump into that. Blueprints, obviously a biggie. Learn in the Dark 2, sure. I like Learn in the Dark. War of the Monsters, I was pretty sure was already available on PS4. I'm sure it was. Maybe not. Who knows? Anything jumping out for you there, Max?
Well, obviously, we both downloaded Blueprints. That is available now, ahead of these going live tomorrow, I think.
Yeah, it's normally the Tuesday, so it'd be 15th.
But yeah, Hogwarts Legacy, go play it.
Check it out. Max,
you're not giving any money to anyone in particular.
Yeah, it is one of those. People are like, "Oh, I don't want to give money to fucking." All right, we'll do it now. Spoilers: she still got paid. So, bitch, what you want, I suppose. Max, one of the things that I have been thoroughly enjoying is my PS Portal. Love it. Really enjoy it. Got me a lovely 30th anniversary one.
Yeah, I was going to say your 30th anniversary PlayStation Portal.
Very sexy. So in the US, mostly, because we don't have it here, Sony has begun rolling out a sizable system update for the Portal. And the goal here was to improve the existing cloud game streaming beta for PS Plus premium subscribers. So they're adding some welcome functionality across the board. Firstly, there's a new sorting system. So you can now sort games in your streaming library. There's gameplay capture. So you can now use the Portal's create button to capture screenshots and video of the game that you are streaming. There is a new queuing system, where you can now wait in queue when streaming servers are full, and you'll get a screen that shows the estimated wait time. Pause functionality. You can now pause your stream game by opening the quick menu, and this doesn't apply to multiplayer games, however.
And shocking there.
Oh, what a twist. Inactivity notifications. You'll be shown a notification that warns of a game closure if you've been inactive for an extended period of time. And finally, a user feedback screen. So you'll now be shown a feedback menu when you end a streaming session to provide some additional information. Excuse me. Now, the challenge that we're going to have, Max, this service is not available here in Australia currently. Correct. Will it ever?
Never.
Who knows? No. We have been, you know, the PlayStation streaming functionalities or whatever has been around for the longest goddamn time. And we are still yet to see it here. And it disappoints me because there are some PS3 games that I would love to play, but they're only on the streaming whatever. But in theory, what's your consideration on these updates?
Good. I mean, this is what the system I feel was made for.
Mm.
So for them to add them, good. It's nice to see them support a peripheral and not hanging out to dry.
True. Couple of things that I hadn't considered. Like, I didn't consider that there would need to be a queuing system. But it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But in that same time, what's the demand on these servers? Like,
It's probably pretty big. Like,
in order to implement it, you would assume it'd be higher, right?
I mean, I use GeForce. Well, I don't anymore now that I have a decent computer. But I used to use GeForce Now every once in a while to play games on a better computer than I had. And you know, there's times where I could get straight into a game, and depending on how popular it is, sometimes you'd be waiting 10-15 minutes to get in. So that's just one of those things.
I do wonder, so there's the inactivity notifications, queuing system, etc. I would like to imagine that as this is solely reliant on your internet connection, if it does happen to drop for a moment, like, do you lose your place in queue? If you just have to then log back in, and then you will leave you where you left off. Is there like a 5-minute down timer or something? So if you, in the same way right now, right? If you drop internet connection on your Switch, on your Portal, or you press the off button, the connection's dropped and you have to reestablish it. Like there is, and if you're unlucky, it may even just turn your console off. So then you have to do the whole boot sequence again and then connect to it. I hope that's something that would be altered. However, I can understand why it wouldn't be, because from a queuing system, if there is a wait time, if the server is keeping space for disconnected portals, pardon me, I can understand that would be a unideal situation for anyone trying to get into said games, but also how to weirdest
place. It'd also be really shitty if you lost connection for a couple of seconds and then you
lose your spot.
And then you put in a fucking 20-minute timer.
Yeah, that'd be a bit rough. But it's pretty cool overall. I love the concept. I love that they're expanding on what the portal could originally do. And once again, we're aware that the original plan for it was, I don't know, it's just to remote play to your console. But slowly, they have begun adding additional little features to it to give it a bit more of a use case outside of that, which is fantastic. But in a world where things just keep getting more expensive, maybe a portal's not a bad choice.
Yeah, so Sony has confirmed that it is once again raising the price of PlayStation 5 systems, with this latest round of increase affecting people in the UK, Europe, Australia, and New Zealand. The price hikes are effective immediately, and they will affect the digital edition of a base PS5 in the UK and Europe, and both the digital and standard versions in Australia and New Zealand. $749.95 is the Australian price for the digital edition and $829.95 for the standard with disc drive.
It's a bit fucked.
Yeah. But the price increases don't stop there, ladies and gentlemen. PlayStation Plus is also going up in price. PlayStation Plus Essential is going from $12.95 is going from $11.95 a month to $12.95 a month with a dollar raise. 3 months is going from $33.95 to $35.95 $2 raise. And at 12 months, we're looking at $95.95 previously to $102.95, so a $7 extra there. PlayStation Plus Extra is going up by $2, $5, and $15 at 12-month tier, and PlayStation Plus Deluxe is a whopping, previously $196.95. It is now $215 dues.
Boosh! Jesus Christ.
It is a substantial increase, but it is worth noting that on current exchange rates, $214.95 Australian dollars is about $133.20 USD, which is less than what the Americans pay for their PlayStation Plus Premium annually. So not only are we paying more for the service than what our American brethren are, we also get less of the service for more of the cost.
Fucking who? It is insane that it is cheaper to have bought a PS5 at launch compared to now, almost 5 years later. It is absolutely unheard of in the tech space for a piece of kit to be more expensive 5 years in the future. It's ridiculous.
Inflation, baby, and global trade wars,
yeah,
baby.
Tariffs. That's funny how, like, very similar to Nintendo Switch last week, where they're like, oh, we can't even put pre-orders out because fucking knows what the tariffs are going to do. I love it how, you know, no one really gave a shit.
To be fair, they have announced that they're not tariffing fucking tech anyway.
Oh, yeah, because all the big dudes in Trump's oligarchy are like, yo, can you not fuck with us? And he went, no worries. I will give you the best deal. The best deal you could ever have.
Did you see that ass kiss of a cabinet meeting where everyone's like, oh, we fucking love you, man?
Yeah, you see the one, you know, where you're like, all the insider trading, he's like, do you see how much money this guy's made? The best money he's ever made in 12 days, you know, in 24 hours. And it's all because of me and me telling everyone to buy stock. And then I fucking tanked it. He didn't say that, but he fucking might as well have.
He basically did. Yeah.
The PS Plus one's intriguing. Like, every service is going up. And I really... We are hitting a saturation point at large where they are just too fucking expensive. You know, even today when you and I were chatting and I was like, yeah, look, I bought a Max. I paid for Max
so that we could watch Last of Us. I'm like, is it on binge again? And you're like, nah, man, it's on Max. I'm like, I don't want to have to pay for another stream.
Yeah, so I did it and then we're sharing. But $18, like, granted, because I have the setup that supports it, I go the tier that's got 4K Dolby Atmos support. That's what, like, that's the shit I want to experience.
Also, for me, it's the do you want more than one screen? I'm like, yes, I want more than one screen.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee there's a point that, you know, my kids will be watching something and I have to watch something on a different screen. I want to be able to fucking multi-device this bitch. Yeah. That's where they get you.
So, like, yeah, $18 a month for max is lame. But we did have a scroll through it earlier, and Phoebe got really excited. There's some shows in there she likes.
I'm going to watch the shit out of White Lotus too.
Oh, yeah, White Lotus. Yeah, White, because I've never seen Lotus. So, like, immediately I just started going through and doing my list. So I was like, White Lotus, Succession, fucking The Sopranos, Silicon Valley, Game of Thrones, True Detective.
Everything that used to be on fucking Binge.
Yeah, everything that was on Binge. I'm going to have to rebuild my fucking list. She's stoked because True Blood's on there, and she's like, you know.
And I fucking love True Blood.
Oh, I'll have to get her. I'll have to let her know.
True Blood is so good.
It's one of those things.
I've read all the books too.
I remember when it came out and everyone's like, oh man, it's, you know, it's not the same as Twilight. It's better. I'm like, no, it's just fucking Twilight. Literally, it's just fucking Twilight. It's just zombies, but they're vamps, but they hump in this one. And that's fine. It's just that when it was pitched to me, it was like, it's not fucking Twilight. It's different. It's better. And then I watch it. It's exactly Twilight. So no, I will not watch it. But
you should watch it. It's fucking good.
There's also, like, okay, I know we're talking about completely tangent here right now, but what I'm really excited with Max, not even like Last of Us. Man,
what are you excited about with me?
Yeah, not even any of the HBO shit. None of that. It's that there's connection to the TLC channel out of the US, and it's just trash TV. Like, My 600-Pound Life, you know, like that kind of shit. I'm like, oh no, I'm going to fucking fall down a dumb rabbit hole. And next thing you know, I'm watching 16 seasons of some crap.
Oh man, I can watch The Fall of Diddy.
Yes, I put that in my list as well. I'll watch this, you know, 5-part doco about how, like, Diddy's just a piece of shit. I could watch it in one episode. You need a 5-minute video, but yeah, I'll watch 4 fucking episodes on it.
I like the way it's right next to Chris Brown, A History of Violence and Art.
Wait, how is that? There's like, Miss, you know, Celebrity and Misfortune, and it's just a bunch of hip hop artists being gross.
Yeah. Followed by Glee.
Yeah, followed by three people that got real fucked up from Glee, and also some of them are dead. But yeah, in short, it is exactly the problem that everyone had with cable is coming to complete fruition with streaming services. And because every fucking dumb cunt felt the need to have their own service should have done one thing.
Well, you know that you can get Max bundled with Disney Plus and one of the other streaming services, and it makes them all cheaper. I think it's Disney Max and something else. Streaming bundle. Where is it? It's Disney, Hulu, and Max.
But we don't have Hulu here.
I don't know. Yeah, so it's Disney Plus, Hulu, and Max bundle is $17 a month.
US.
Yeah.
Yeah. They probably won't. They probably don't have that dealio here. Because fuck.
Probably not. Because fuck.
But one thing we should also note, Max, that we should probably jump into, based off of these pricings of the PS5s, apparently the Pro's not being messed with at all.
Yeah, the Pro's not being messed with at all, which means they're selling it way over.
Makes me wonder, like, is it this high in order to offset what would have been future tariff and supply chain price bullshit? But you and I had a discussion today in our group chat, and I'm in the firm belief of, in the same way that, like, oh, the war in Ukraine is why your eggs are running low. Like, no, it's not, you fuckheads. It's just any excuse to increase prices and fuck over the consumers.
It's the real issue of fucking bird flu wiped out like a quarter of the fucking chickens.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, I'm talking about, like, you know, how everything was a supply chain. Everything was this problem. It was all the war in Ukraine, all this, that, the other. Oh, it's post-COVID. And even though the lockdowns were, you know, 3 years ago now, they're like, oh, those lockdowns are really just fucking with the prices of, I don't know, postage stamps or something. It's insane how quickly all these businesses were like, oh, pay us more money. which is essentially what's happening here, which is absolutely frustrating. But let me just take a note of the Torn. Quick bits! Ex-PlayStation Bloodborne producer opens new studio for, quote, high-end console games. It's open statement. Marathon will not be requiring a PSN on Xbox or PC. Now, Max, there was a bit of fun this week with a Marathon reveal. Yeah, it's coming Saturday in morning, September.
Yeah, there's a closed beta next week, I think it is.
Now, you're probably the one that's the most excited, like, after the seeing the footage. Did it do anything for you?
No, not really. So, it's an extraction shooter. So, it's a PvPvE game, which is fine.
That's just the
But it's Destiny, so you can only party up with fucking two people. So, it's 3v3v3. It's a, I think it's... sorry, it's... 18 player characters on a map at any given time, plus the AI enemies, and it's the extraction shooter model of like playing fucking Call of Duty Warzone. If you want to go in on a quote unquote naked run, you go in with nothing. You try and get as much stuff as you can. You get out, you keep what you kill, and extract with it. From a visual perspective, I don't like the look of the game. From a gameplay and gunplay perspective, Bungie do know how to make a good fucking shooter. Like, Destiny may have its faults, but the gunplay has always been good. Am I shocked that it's not free to play? No.
Because it's you know, PlayStation subsidiary, you know, Concord. It's certainly better than Concord already, from what I've seen.
I was having this discussion with someone just before we got on the show. He's like, well, the Finals is free to play. I'm like, but the Finals is not an extraction shooter. Like, an extraction shooter is something like Warzone, fucking Tarkov, to an extent, PUBG. Technically Warzone's free, but the rest of them are paid. So, I'm not surprised. Do I think it's going to be like a full $70 game? No. But it's definitely not going to be free.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be like $40 US, sort of in that bracket.
I'm guessing it'll be like $54.95 Aussie.
Yeah,
to be
like
honest.
$60-$70.
Yeah. It's fine.
Devil May Cry has been greenlit for a season 2. That's through Netflix?
Netflix, yeah. I've watched like one episode.
Where is it?
Yeah, it's fine. I hope it gets better. But again, I've only watched one episode, so.
And finally, Kingdom Come Deliverance gets its hardcore mode, and it comes next week. That's the game I got to go back to.
Apparently in hardcore mode, you pick your perks at the start of the game, and that's it. That's what you get.
So, like, no learning as you go?
It's like, fucking, no, apparently it's hardcore.
Oh, that could be fun. I'm not going to play it. I'm going to play the version I already got, but that could be fun.
Coming soon. Here are the games that are coming to you in the next week. On the 14th of April, you get Forever Skies on PS5. On the 5th of April, you get... that's the 15th, Max, you moron. On the 15th of April, you get Chains of Freedom, PS5. Finding Frankie, PS5. Hot Rod Mayhem, PS5. If you don't have it on PlayStation Extra, you can get Lost Records, Bloomin' Rage, Tape 2 on PS5 on the 15th. You get Lush Foil Photography Sim, game for Ryan, PS5.
I'm sorry, what?
It's a sim game. Lush Foil Photography. Go take photos of Lush Foils.
I could take photos of things.
Nico Dorico, The Magical World Director's Cut, PS5. On the 16th of April, you get Moving Houses, PS5. 17th of April, Bionic Bay, PS5. iRobot, PS5.
Wait.
Leela, PS5.
Isn't that a movie?
iRobot, yeah, it was also an old MAME game, I think. From like the 80s, possibly. You get Madragora, Whispers of the Witch Tree, PS5. Phantom Break, Battlegrounds Ultimate, PS5. Vinebound, Tangled Together, PS5. Indiana Jones and the Golden Circle. I think it's Great Circle, though. Yeah, it is the Great Circle and the Golden Circle. PS5. And on the 18th of April... get Orphans.
Just Orphans. Just Orphans. That's it. Just a stack of orphans in a game.
The big one this week, obviously, being Indiana Jones and the Great Circle.
Like, I'm curious on moving houses. Is it like moving out? Is it, you know, where does it fit? I'll have to have a look. But yeah, obviously, Indiana Jones, big one. You've heard our first impressions. We'll have more to say in the coming weeks. But
would you like the blurb for moving houses?
Yes, please.
There comes a time in everyone's life when they must leave their home behind and find another. Now, in moving houses, it's your turn, whether you really want to leave or not. Enjoy a silly physics-based game about moving on as you box up your life, while immersed in casual, comfy gameplay and the instant gratification of task-based gamification of packing chores. Be neat, be careful, or be a chaos goblin. The choice is yours.
Fuck, that sounds like a me game. Dear God. Dear God.
And here's your photography sim. Experience detailed, true-to-life recreations of beautiful and diverse locations around the world. Trek through and explore environments to capture stunning vistas and landscapes with your fully featured in-game camera. Each environment is filled with objectives to reward players that have a good eye for angles and perspectives, and hidden secrets for those who are patient and observant.
Nah, fuck that.
Yeah, your iRobot was a 1980s Atari arcade game.
Not the movie with Will Smith.
No.
That's a shame. But anyways, that does bring us to the end of the show. Big thank you to everyone for joining us as always. As you mentioned, we will have our Last of Us Season 2 Episode 1 review chat up in a couple of days. We'll put it up on the social so you guys can come and join the conversation with us, because that does make it way more fun. And outside of that, Indiana Jones for the coming weeks. Most things are pretty much by the numbers other than that, eh? Let's get out of here, Max.
Alrighty, everybody. You know the drill. This PlayStation conversation happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can. Come check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist. We watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can. Tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast service, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a review. Watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, while come below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, account at patreon.com/thepopculturist. But until next week, I'm Ryan Bitson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players.